Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll invite you to be seated. In a normal year, on Pentecost, we would spend a fair amount of time in the sermon talking about the festival of Pentecost, a Jewish festival that brought devout Jews to Jerusalem from all parts of the world. We'd spend a fair amount of time talking about the Holy Spirit descending on the apostles and what that meant then and what that means now. But this isn't a normal year, is it? Because of that, we can yearn for the normal, the way things used to be. Some time ago, somebody had said, "So exactly what part of normal do you want again?" Because there's a lot of what was normal that was not good in our lives, in our nation, in our world. So I don't know that normal is so good or so desirable. And then we hear quite a bit, don't we, that, well, there's a new normal. And we'll get used to the new normal. I don't really like the way that sounds either. It's kind of like, well, we're the victims here, and these things are out of our control, and we just have to kind of submit to whatever is going on around us, and even if we don't like it, just kind of grin and bear it, because that's the new normal. I like better what the scriptures say, don't you? And you don't even know which scripture I'm going to use, do you? But you still like it better, partly because it sounds better than the old normal, and the new normal, but mostly because you know that what the scriptures say is always wonderful. And I like the way the scriptures talk about a renewed normal. Doesn't use those two words together. I don't know if it uses the word normal at all, actually, but the idea of renewed, renewing, renewal, that's all over the scriptures. And this renewed normal, in a lot of ways, began on that first Pentecost. We oftentimes refer to Pentecost as the birthday of the Christian church. Good way to refer to it. In some ways, it's a rebirth day for us this year, isn't it, as we're able to gather again for worship. What happened on that first Pentecost? The apostles were gathered for worship. Where were they worshiping? In a church? In a worship and event center? No, they were in a house. The Holy Spirit came upon them in the house where they were dwelling. So you know what that means, don't you? They became a church before they ever built a church. And they went to church worship before they ever had a church building to go to. And so all these months when we've been worshiping in our homes, and you who are now worshiping in your homes, that's fine. That's the way worship in the church began, not using technology and all of that, of course. Yet we are still thrilled to be able to gather in this church, this worship and event center, to be together around God's word. And then this particular word from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, where he says, do not be conformed to this world. You know what that word conformed means, don't you? I think it works so well for us to remember this right now, even with what's going on around us. But to be conformed, the way that was used was, don't let the pressure that the world is placing upon you force you into its mold and make you the way the world wants you to be. We're pretty good at allowing that to happen. I know I am anyway. But St. Paul says, don't do that. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And now here's the word, by the renewing of your mind. so that you can test and approve what the will of God is, the gracious, pleasing, and perfect will of God. And for this test of knowing the will of God, we have the answer sheet, don't we? It's the Bible. And there we are told that God's primary will for us is what his primary will is for all people, because God wants all people to be saved, come to a knowledge of the truth. Jesus tells us how those who have been saved are going to respond to that. He was asked, it was during Holy Week, and a lawyer was trying to trap him and said, "What's the greatest commandment?" In Matthew 22, Jesus said, "The greatest commandment is this, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it, that you love your neighbor as yourself." We've been talking these last couple of weeks, and I know not everybody is able. I know y'all want to, but I know not everybody is able to tune in to the daily broadcast. But we've been talking about loving our neighbor quite a bit there, so I'm not really going to do that today. I want to focus on the first and the greatest commandment, as Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's the rub for us, isn't it? We do love him. I am still learning how to love him with my whole heart. You know, think about it this way, though. So Jesus says this is the commandment. The greatest commandment is to love God. Can you really command somebody to love somebody else? I guess you can tell them to do it. You can command that, but can you enforce that commandment? No. So why did Jesus call it a commandment? Was Jesus saying, you better love God? No. Jesus was inviting us to love God the way God loves us. And that's why he said it, because God desires, this is his greatest desire from us. He desires from us what he gives to us. And that is perfect love. He wants us to know the joy and the peace that come from loving him. He desires that for us. And so he regularly reminds us of his love for us, because love always does something. There's always an action that's involved with that. And for God, the primary action of his love was sacrifice, to send his son into this world. And he calls on us to sacrifice too, but first he calls on us to love. In the Old Testament, when God was giving the actual Ten Commandments, you can look this up in Exodus chapter 20, he begins those commandments by saying, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." He said that not because he was saying, "Hey, I'm God, you better listen now." Or he said it not because, "Hey, look how good I've been to you. You should be grateful to me." No. Neither was it, "Well, I did something for you, now you do this for me." That wasn't it either. We're just about out of reasons why God might have said that, but there's one more, and this is the correct one. God said that was because he wanted to remind his people and to assure his people of his constant love for his people. And he wanted them to reflect on the commands that he was going to give them in the light of his love. To realize that because God loves us, he wants for us and he does for us only what's best for us, even though sometimes we might chafe under that. Obeying the commandments doesn't always seem to be the most fun, and yet God says that is your best life, to know the love of Jesus and to express your love for Jesus by obedience to his commands. But this is a renewed normal, because that needs to be, that desire in us needs to be renewed all the time. And it isn't normal for us yet, is it? What's normal for us still is to rebel and to think we know better and to want to go our own way. That's why we still need the power of the Holy Spirit to descend upon His church, to descend upon His people, to renew our hearts and our minds with His forgiving love and with His empowering word, so that we can test and approve what is the will of God, the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. The day will come, it's not here yet. The day will come when we are able to love Him with our whole heart, and that is the day, that's the day when we're with Him, but that is the day in which we will know the perfect peace and joy that comes from loving Him with all our heart. And what it means to love God with all our heart, well, a number of things, but primarily what it means is to trust Him completely. I'm still working on that. I know you are too. To trust Him completely. Because that is so opposite of how we are built. That is so opposite of how we are. One of the most frustrating things about COVID-19 is that we lost control. Somebody else telling us what to do and what we can't do, and we hate that. I hate that. Trust means not that we've lost control. It means that we surrender control. It's not taken from us. We give it to God and say, "Yes, I trust You completely. I surrender to You my independence and declare to You my total dependence on You, Lord. For salvation, sure, but also for while we still walk and live on this earth." What is the will of God, the good and pleasing and perfect will of God? It is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and our neighbor as ourselves. We'll leave that for another time. My prayer for you is the same as my prayer for myself. Lord, help me to love You more and to serve You better. In Jesus' name, amen.